Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
And welcome back to the Beer Ladies podcast. I'm Lisa, and I am your host this evening, this afternoon, this morning, whenever we are in your ears. We have a full complement today. So I am joined by Tandy, Katie, and Christina. So hello, ladies.
Hey.
And we have a topic today that is very near and dear to our hearts. This is going to be a fun one, very casual. We'll talk a little bit of history here, but mostly we're going to talk about why we love this thing and maybe some of the very, very minor controversies about this thing. But I think before we do that, we'll do our usual spiel of you can find us on all of the socials. You can find us on YouTube. We are at Beer Ladies Pod, or you can just search for Beer Ladies Podcast on everything. We are on Twitter, probably still as you're hearing this, as far as we know. We are on Mastodon. We are on Instagram. Like I said, we're on YouTube. We're kind of sort of on TikTok, which at some point we'll do more stuff on. We have a link tree that you can search, and if you go to that link tree, you can buy some very cool Beer Ladies podcast merchandise. Would be a very cool thing to see some of you out there this summer at a festival maybe, or out and about, but we would love that. But you can also buy us a coffee there, or buy us a pint more likely. So all of that stuff out of the way, we are very excited to dive into an episode about black IPAs. And if you're one of those people who gets upset about black IPA, because how can you have a black India pale ale? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. But this is mostly going to be a celebration. We're not going to get too pedantic about anything because we all really love this style. So that said, we will get into that a little bit. But first, we will go around and discover what we are all drinking. So Tandy, let's go over to you.
Woohoo. Okay. So as you probably know, there's not that many black IPAs on the market. It was a little bit of a spiel to try and find one. And in the end, I did find three. So I have one of the three. And I have got from Lineman, I've got Nagelbet. Now, that's a very strange word. And maybe I'm saying it wrong. Nagelbet. It's a cold black IPA.
So see, it's got all of the sort of descriptors that could make someone freak out. I love it.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, if you all remember, we've discussed before, I can't remember which episode, but we discussed what a cold IPA is. And it's kind of when you use some lager ingredients and when you ferment at lager temperatures. So it should give you a cleaner sort of malt profile. But this is a black IPA that's been cold fermented, I guess. And I'm very interested to see what it tastes like. It looks beautiful. It's very black. And it's got this very rich, frothy kind of head. And I think this is the thing that confuses people with black IPAs. Kind of looks like a stout, but it should taste like an IPA. So yeah, that's mine from Lineman.
Excellent. Very good. And Katie, what have you got?
Well, mine is technically, it's called Embrace the Daylight from Whiplash. And it's on the can, it says it's a Cascadian dark ale.
We will talk about that. Yes.
And this doesn't have as frothy a head as Tandy's one, but it's very nice. And on the can, the hops are Columbus, Cascade, Chinook, and Sentinel. So very Pacific Northwest.
Yeah,
with
absolutely.
The Columbus. Yeah, with a lot of those.
Very IPA hops, you know, like traditional IPA.
Yeah,
hops.
Yeah. But yeah, not an IPA, a Cascadian dark ale. Or is it?
Yeah. Or is it? Yes, we will. We will get into it. And Christina Fred, I know you're off the sauce tonight because, folks, she's almost done with her book. She is trying to power through. But you have some favorites. So I didn't know if you wanted to mention one while we're here.
I was saying before we started recording that the first Black IPA I think I've ever had was the Widmer Brothers IPA, which still has like a soft spot in my heart. So, you know, imagine that is the beer or something like that. Because, yeah, I'm in the final countdown and I have to really behave myself.
Yes. Yes, these books don't write or edit themselves, folks. So this is when you finally get that book in your hands, listeners, you know, because you're all going to go out and buy it. You know the sacrifices this woman has made to get this to you. So no pressure. No pressure.
No pressure.
Yes. And I have also gotten but it was a little hard to find again, the Kinniger Black Bucket Black Rye IPA. So this has the rye as well. So adding a little bit of that kind of almost spicy kind of character to it. And I've poured mine into a Stoop Brewing pint. So I've got some more Pacific Northwest stuff going on. Not a huge head, although definitely some retention there, nice sort of creamy head color, but not a ton of it. But it's definitely dark, but if you do hold it up to the light, you've got a little bit of sort of ruby sort of shining through, but this is one that I'm always excited to see on tap around town, so always happy to see it.
That is one of my favorite beers, Lisa, and I was so tempted to just get one just because I love it so much, but like that's the one that I turn to all the time.
Yeah, it's really, really nice, and again, it's such a pleasant surprise, I think, to see this one on, because you'll often see the kind of regular version of the beer, not the dark one, on, so when I do see this one, I get excited too, but it's always nice to see. And for those who are just listening, I also have a Phillips Brewing sweatshirt on, and that will become relevant possibly as we get into some of the history-ish stuff we're going to talk about. But I think before we dive into any kind of, you know, what counts, if you like, in air quotes, as a Black IPA or as a Cascadian Dark Ale or some of the other terms we're going to talk about, I think, Tandy, we'll go over to you first and say, what is it, just based on sort of BJCP and that kind of thing.
Okay, so Black IPAs are part of a larger family of speciality IPAs. Speciality IPAs are anything from rye IPAs, red IPAs, Belgian IPAs, sour IPAs. You know, this is part of that really big family tree of IPAs that we've spoken about, where IPA is no longer one style, it's one of many, many styles. And this one happens to have darker malts in it, hence the black color or the darker color. And it's got darker malts in it. So it looks like a stout, but it tastes like an IPA. So it is hoppy, so hop forward and bitter. So it's got lots of hops in it, both in early boil and in late boil or in dry hopping. God, where are my words? But the real thing that makes it special is the addition of these darker malts. So roasted malts would play a bit of a role here. They'd still be the minority, but they'll add a lot of color and they'll add a little bit of that roast profile. So in a black IPA, let's say as compared to a stout, you know, a stout has got lower bitterness and it has almost no hop flavors to it. Whereas a black IPA has got some, like a good amount of bitterness, lots of hop flavor, but it also has the addition of these like roasty, toasty, sometimes caramelly, sometimes coffee, sometimes chocolate flavors that these malts can provide. There isn't one way to make one either. It's you know, it's really a matter of experimentation, but you're looking for mild to moderate sort of roast flavors, whether they come in the form of, as I say, coffee, chocolate, one of those, or caramel or biscuit. As opposed to a stout, which that is quite prominent in the style, hopped like an IPA. And what I found, I don't know if you ladies agree, but what I found is that with black IPAs, they're almost hopped like a West Coast IPA rather than an East Coast. So you're not really finding tropical juicy notes in a black IPA. That would conflict, I think, with the sort of bitterness that the grains give you, as well as the, you know, the real hop bitterness. So it's much more West Coast. So Katie, your beer, like with Chinook and Cascade, these are kind of traditional West Coast hops. I think those are probably the ones that are used the most. But yeah, you're looking for highly hopped, very bitter, but also roasty, but not so roasty that it could be a stout. That's what we're looking here, for. Here. And normally pitch black.
Yes, yes, pitch black or pitch black adjacent. But yeah, and I think I would say when I've had ones that have gone wrong, and obviously that's none of these. We love all of these and keep going back to them. And I feel like, you know, when they do go wrong, they tend to not get made again. So it's okay. They sort of self-select out. But I find they have almost kind of an ashy flavor where you get a, where just the hops and the roastiness don't play quite right together. And again, that could be because of what was chosen. Or like you said, maybe they went too far into putting in some of those darker malts and it was just kind of overpowering. Mm. But I think it is a style that if you don't have everything kind of dialed into what you want, it can go in directions. And I think that may be a reason too why sometimes people say, oh, I've had that and I didn't like it. It's like, well, maybe they just had one that was a little too far in one direction or another, yeah. Or they may just not like it, and that's okay too. Everyone can like different things. But
yeah. I actually saw one today that I nearly bought, and it was called a coffee IPA, and I thought, I wonder if that's just a, you know, like a stupid marketing term for effectively a black IPA, because when you're blending those flavors of sort of coffee, which you're going to get from your darker malts and your hops, you know, from your IPA, that's kind of what you're getting, is a slight coffee bitterness and slight coffee almost, what is the word I'm looking for? It's like a slight astringency, but if it goes too far, it becomes ashy, as you said there, Lisa. But I thought it was weird because I did see one, and I know the brewery's name, but I won't mention them. But coffee IPA, do we need another term?
I have had this was pre-pandemic in Underdog. I had a flat white IPA, and it was not dark in color. It was pale, a pale IPA with coffee hints. No, I can't remember who brewed it, but it was, I love my coffee. Lisa doesn't like coffee.
I know. And yet I love these beers. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was delicious.
Those notes are quite restrained, or they're supposed to be in a black IPA. They're not supposed to be coffee bombs, chocolate bombs. You're not looking for dessert level sweetness here. Mm. You're just looking for, it's like an extra layer of bitterness. Mm-hmm. So hops are bitter, but hops also have flavor to them, whatever the flavor is, whether it's pine or citrus or whatever. But the roasted malts themselves also give a level of bitterness and a level of, they add dryness and they add astringency and they add, you know, a whole like roasty different level to things. So I think that the balance of these things is really key, because you're not looking for a stout that's been highly hopped. You're actually at an IPA with some dark malts in it, some, you know, like 5 to 7% seems to be the sort of template recipe, but you do get more. I've seen some go up to 14 or 15% even.
Oh, wow. Mm. And that's expensive.
I'd be a bit nervous about that myself. and one more interesting thing is that because you do want some of the flavor from these roasted malts, you would add them into your initial mash. Now, this is kind of important, because if you're making something like a Schwarzbier or a dark lager, there are ways to get the color without really the acridity, if you want, from the malts. And it's to only add the dark malts when you are sparging. So you do your mash, which is adding your grains to your water, getting all those sugars out. And then when you're sparging, what you've effectively done is lifted out the big tea bag, and you're pouring more water on to get, you know, rinse the leftover grains to get all the sugars out. Now, some people, when they're making something like a Schwarzbier, will add their darker roasted grains only then. So what you get is the color without all the extraction of the good and the bad that can come from these malts, which I think is very smart, but it will lend the color with some smoothness as opposed to the color with some dryness and some bitterness, which you want in an IPA, as opposed to a dark lager, which you want it to be very crisp and clean and smooth. So that's something to consider. I don't know if people have definitely tried to just add the color to black IPAs, but it probably isn't punchy enough. Like, you just do need that percentage of the roast to make it pop.
Yeah. And I think you made a really interesting point too about how, you know, you couldn't really use your kind of hazy kind of hops with it, your sort of more tropical ones. And I do wonder if maybe that's a reason that I feel like black IPA has sort of come back up. I wonder if there's just sort of hazy hop fatigue kind of going on, and people like, I liked it back in the early 2000s when we had all of, you know, these sort of punchier kind of things. Again, which is not to knock hazy IPAs as such. There's just a lot of them. And sometimes
there's a lot.
Yeah. Sometimes you just want something different. So I wonder if that's maybe part of why they've been creeping back up.
It's because we come on this podcast and say there's too many IPAs all the time. And everyone's just like, well, they said it. So must be true. No, I'm full of it. But no, I would agree with you. I think probably there it's a way to make IPAs, which are a really good style of beer. I love IPAs. But make it a little bit more interesting. Now, I'm completely biased because black IPAs are one of my favorite styles. But I think it adds just that extra little level of interest and it makes something, you know, a little bit different.
Mm. Yeah, and definitely. Just a little bit of complexity. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that maybe sets it apart a little bit is that regardless of the IPA style, black IPAs tend to be a little bit drier on the finish.
Yeah,
and that's a lot of it is because of those roasted malts, because they do lend slightly more astringency and it'll dry your palate out, which is very Moorish. But, you know, with these beers that you're tending to drink one or two, you're not drinking six, which is, you know, I think if you get into sort of, you know, hazy IPA territory, you could have six of those because they're very easy drinking. They're like drinking slightly alcoholic juice sometimes, especially if they're slightly lower on the alcohol scale. But these ones, this is kind of like bang for your buck beer. You know you know what you're getting. You're typically in a 6% range with these beers. They're not, you don't often find a black IPA that's at 4%, and I would hazard a guess to say probably wouldn't pack the flavor if it was that low.
No, that's a good point.
And yeah, I think I might argue with Tandy saying you'll only have one or two of these.
The gauntlet is thrown.
You know, I'm trying to put some sort of like moderate face forward, but we all know that's not even me. Like, I'm a hooligan. I'll drink all the beers.
Yeah.
Please drink responsibly. But I think, you know, that the Whiplash one, Katie, that you got is a good example of something that I had a couple of in my fridge and then I didn't. So, because it is a very Moorish beer, it's just really nice. And I was excited when they brought it out and was trying to go and get another one this week. And they were gone by me. So
and I love that Kinnegar have it in their core range.
Yeah.
Now, I know Whiplash's model is that their core range is tiny and that they do their releases and they have their annual releases. But I love that Kinnegar have it in their core range because I don't see it in very many Irish breweries' core range.
Definitely. Definitely. And you know, I wonder if that's kind of too because of sort of how they came about. Well, I think we'll sort of say two things, kind of how they came about in the modern era. I think we can talk a little bit about how in the past there were almost always beers like this once you had hops, because beers used to be darker more often because that was just how you roasted things. So, you know, we're not going to go too deep into, like, you know, planting a flag and saying all 18th century beer was like this, because that's just not, you know, that's silly. But at the same time, I know when we had Martin Cornellum, you know, the other week, I think he did, you know, make some points certainly about, you know, porter was really hoppy back in the day in a lot of cases. And I think, again, there's an argument to be made there over, like, are some hoppy porters black IPAs? Like, when does one kind of, you know, tip over into another? And certainly from a historical perspective, I don't know that we can really say just based on looking at, like, grain bill and what we kind of sort of know about the hops, but, you know, it's an interesting question.
Now, historically, I couldn't answer that, of course, but if you were looking at the differences now between them, it often comes down to something like the yeast choice. You know, so typical porters would be using English strains of yeast that add their own esters and add their own flavors to the beer, whereas IPAs mostly, besides hazy IPAs, sort of, this is a complex little question, but mostly IPAs use a clean yeast that don't add any flavors to the beer per se.
That's a good point.
So if you are very discerning, you might be able to pick up some of the yeast flavors in, let's say, a porter or in a stout that you don't get in something like a black IPA because it's clean. It's all the malt and the hops.
So I think we'll segue slightly to a little bit about the kind of the modern history of this style. So I think a lot of people will say they were kind of invented, and again, air quotes, because people have always made whatever, in Vermont in the 1990s. Exactly. So that they'll sort of name check the Vermont Pub and Brewery. But, you know, I was looking at a couple of articles. They also called it Avery's New World Porter, which, again, they called it a porter. It was a hoppy porter. I also think of like Trogs Dead Reckoning Porter, which was a very hoppy porter. Also one of my favorite beers, just putting that out there. But the reason I've got my Phillips Brewing sweatshirt up in Victoria, Canada, is they brewed something they called at the time Skookum Cascadian Dark in 2004. And they've changed the name more recently. Now it's Black Toke, so it's still Canadian, like hyper Canadian. But it's the same beer as far as I'm aware. And that, again, if you sort of follow the lore, is what inspired Stone to make what was initially their 11th anniversary ale in 2007, which is when I first came across it. And then that became their Sublimely Self-Righteous. But I can remember back when that first came out, like it was a big deal to find it. It was only certain places. It was the thing that people were freaking out about in kind of a pre-untapped, I think it was still pre-untapped age of people being like, oh, I found this. And even there wasn't really social media in that way. I knew people who were photographing that beer specifically and just being like, I found it here. And then sort of sharing those pictures in person. And it was always a big thing, like at the kind of what became Philly Beer Week, to be like, oh, they got these black IPAs in. And it was a big deal for nerds to go and find it. So I was wondering if any of you had any of those kind of early experiences with the style, or if I'm just a weirdo, which is possible, but I feel like this was a big thing that happened initially in the US in that kind of era. But I think then it did kind of go other places after that.
Now, I do remember it being here in Ireland when I first moved here and I first got into black IPAs. I remember like when the Widmer brothers one was here at a particular pub, everyone was like, oh, go to, you know, and go, you know, go have this. And actually I had it in Ireland before I had it in the US.
That's funny. Yeah.
And I remember everyone being like, this is a big deal. Now I'm sure more people had them way before I did or whatever. I'm usually late to the party, but you know, it was a big deal when I had it and we all got them together and we were all very excited about this development, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's funny. Yeah. Katie, Tandy, what do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, with all due respect, Lisa, I'm a little younger than you. No,
ooh,
but to be fair,
that
like,
gauntlet.
Not even much to be, like, not even much.
Sunscreen.
But also, no, like on the other end of the world, back down all the way at the bottom of Africa, like, no, things were not happening, or at least not at the same time frame. I don't even remember the first black IPA that I had. I do remember it was novel, and I do remember loving it from the minute I had a black IPA. I was like, oh my God, this is my style. If there was a style, this is it. Like, that's what I like. But I don't remember any hype.
I wonder if it's like a climate difference too. Although I feel like it is one that works in any weather. Like if it's hot, it's lovely. If it's cold, you're like, oh, it'll warm up. So I think it's got that too.
Yeah. Like for me, like a black IPA is a really good summer evening. Like it's like perfect. So I like really hoppy beers during the day, session ales, you know, those kind of things, sours. But like at night in the summer, a black IPA is just chef's kiss. Like it's perfect for me.
Definitely.
And I think I don't remember this Widmer release in Ireland, but maybe I was not in the country at the time.
I think it was just it wasn't like a big you know, like they didn't come over and do a thing. I think just some pub had some bottles or something. And I feel like it was BrewDock, the Galway Bay pub across from Conway Station. I feel like that was, I just remember someone telling me that I needed to go try this beer. And again, I'm pretty sure that I was very late to this party because everyone else knew what this was. And I had probably had a black IPA before that. But I distinctly remember this particular experience because, you know, I was with people who were really excited about it.
Yeah.
And that made me excited about it. But yeah, I had probably had one before that, but that's the one that I really remember.
My first one was actually in Portland. It was in Deschutes have a tap room and restaurant in Portland, and it was in there, and it was a black IPA. And then a good few years later, I went to a place called Three Mugs Brewing in Hillsborough, and they had a CDA, on the board. Yeah. And I was like, what's a CDA? I don't know what that is, because I'd never come across it before. And they're like, oh, it's a Cascadian dark ale. And I'm like, oh, I'll try that. And I'm like, this is tastes very like a black IPA.
Yeah, which is a great point. And I think for those not in the know, Cascadia is, roughly speaking, your area from, you know, Oregon, Washington State, and then up into British Columbia and Canada. And you always know when you've crossed the border into Canada, because suddenly the roads are so much better. It's amazing. You're like, wow, infrastructure. What is this even like? It's just,
oh, you know what bonkers. That's like going to Kerry. You know you're in Healy Ray country when the roads are good. Sorry.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's amazing. But I think it's interesting how the area really did kind of embrace the style, even, you know, whether it was or wasn't kind of that prevalent initially. I feel like people were like, this is our thing. Let's do this now. So I don't know if maybe it was the Widmer brothers starting that off, or like you said, Katie, like Deschutes. And I love, is the Deschutes one, was that Hop in the Dark? I'm trying to remember what it was, but I always love getting it at, you know, their place in Portland. It's all really, really nice. And I feel like I got it, because by the time we got to the Pacific Northwest, like it was uncool again, but you could still get it there. And I was excited about that. But for me, when we were moving from the US right coast to the left coast, I was like, I'm going to get all these black IPAs. And then when we got there, they weren't a thing anymore there. And I was sad, but then they started to come back here and there. But I've had the one in Victoria again at Phillips, and they're in Victoria, British Columbia, which is, if you're ever looking for a wonderful little town to have a just wonderful pub crawl, Victoria is a place to go. It is gorgeous. Again, it's Canadian, so everything is safe and lovely. But there's tons of little breweries in Victoria, and there are a lot of really good black IPAs, but I think they do tend to embrace the Cascadian dark ale. I think people have leaned into it, which is great. Cause I think, you know, and it's an excuse then to put out the Cascadian flag, which is a thing that does exist. And it's, look it up. Well, maybe we'll put a link to it in the show notes, but it's very pretty. And there is a sort of, splitter free Cascadia movement out there. You can always look them up too, but some of them are a little scary. So,
and I'm presuming that Cascade hops grow in the Cascades.
Absolutely, right?
You know, yeah, they're, or at least traditional.
Yeah, 100%. Mm. Yeah, and that's an interesting point too, because I think that I've seen some discussion that, well, it could still be a hoppy dark ale, but if it doesn't have sort of Pacific Northwest style hops, it doesn't count. Like there could be other West Coast hops, but unless they're specifically kind of those, that it's I don't know, it's not hardcore enough. So I don't know. I think it's splitting hairs a bit, but it's an interesting question.
Yeah. Now, and Tandy, is Cascadian Dark Ale its own category on BGCP, or it's just no?
It's not called Cascadian Dark Ale. It's called Black IPA.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering.
So, yeah. So within the BJCP, the general category for IPAs is 21, and then you get American IPA, you get speciality IPA, which is 21B. So 21B takes all the speciality IPAs under one umbrella, but it does make concessions for the fact that some of them are different from each other. So black IPA, 21B, brown IPA, red IPA, brut IPA, so that uses champagne yeast, which will dry it up even more. I've said red, rye IPA. So something like the Kenegar Black Rust Bucket is a black rye IPA. It would have to be a speciality IPA within the BJCP, and you'd probably have to specify that it's a black rye IPA. And white IPAs. Remember white IPAs?
Yeah, that was a white thing IPAs that happened.
Because I haven't.
I haven't seen them anywhere.
Rascals have a white IPA, don't they?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, Rascals is the only other one I can think of.
I forgot about that.
But I think I'm, that one. Yeah. Because I love the black IPA so much, it's hard to, sometimes you overlook other things. So,
yeah.
Get distracted.
Exactly. My eyes are, you know.
It's like that meme. All the other IPAs, black IPAs. Yeah. Yes,
exactly. Oh, it's so true. It's so true. And you know, it's a funny thing too, because it's the same thing. As soon as I see one on, I'll be like, oh, I wanted to get that. Oh, like, doesn't matter what it is, or you know, if I've had it before. Or and sometimes I know I'll even go back and try one that I haven't really liked, just because I'm like, well, maybe I just had a bad one of that one last time. And then
maybe it was the line, or
yeah,
like you don't know.
Never know.
It's science, Lisa. It's science.
It's science. Absolutely. Oh, 100%. And it's funny, I have a sort of, I was not quite sad enough to do a deep dive into like my like long ago untapped history, because that would be a weird thing that I certainly don't do that often and get the spreadsheet. Not at all, Bernard. That's not normal. But I was just really reminiscing over like some individual ones that I've really, really loved over time. And one of the ones that stood out to me was a Pennsylvania one, actually. But again, it's so funny how even the ones not from the Pacific Northwest leaned into some of the sort of terminology and the hops again, because it started off, this was at Victory Brewing Company. It started off as Yakima Twilight. And then I guess people felt that was too, I don't know, sounded like it was going away. And then they changed it to Yakima Glory when they released it the next year. But it was one of those things that started off as a one-off. And then people were like, oh, love this beer. And then it came back and it was, I want to say a seasonal. So I don't know if it's still something in the roundup, but it was something that like every time I saw it, I was like, oh, so good. But I love that they actually even made a big deal about having gone out to Oregon to like choose the specific hops that went into this batch. And I was like, oh. But it was, there's that storytelling element too, that I think people could really lean into. And I feel like maybe we're missing some of that a little bit with some of what's out there now, but I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
And you know, the Irish are not one to shy away from a good story.
Harder to grow some Yakima hops, but yeah.
You know, you just reminded me there that I could actually just go look at Untappd to see which one was my first. But anyway, I don't believe my own Untappd entries, but it looks like my first one that I actually logged was called Dark as the Night Black IPA from Devil's Peak Brewing. And they're based in Cape Town, well, Cape Town adjacent. Okay. I don't think I liked that beer when I first had it. So there it is. But it reminded me that the first time that I visited Ireland before I moved here, so 2016, part of the trip that I was doing, and I went to Cork and I went to Rising Suns. Do you know Rising Suns? I mean, Rising Suns
were in
Cork. Yeah. Famously don't distribute anywhere almost. So it's kind of one of those places that you have to be there to really drink their beers. Mm. And I had a black IPA there in 2016. Ooh. That I rated very highly. So I wonder if they still make it. And yeah, indeed. I'm sure they're still going, but I just don't know
what they're
doing at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And they make some wonderful pizza too, but maybe we should manifest a trip there.
Road trip. Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
And, love and to
if,
go back
if
to court.
They happen to redo that specific beer,
you know.
Wouldn't be mad.
And it was called Uprising, which is also a very cool name for a beer.
Oh, now I have to check and see if I've had it as well. So you know, because it's been a while since I've been to Cork, but I do love everything I've had at Rising Suns. So I think it's, you know, it's such an interesting question. Ooh, let's see.
I like that it could lead to beer tourism. I mean, beer tourism is
absolutely,
kind of, it's a thing anyway, but you know, whether you wanted to go to the Pacific Northwest of the States just to go and drink delicious beers that are really fresh, made there with hops and malts and all the things kind of grown there. I think that's a whole thing, you know, let alone
absolutely
breweries who are just making interesting styles. But that sounds fun, you know, to me, is to go off to Oregon and just go and indulge in all the delicious beer, because I feel like that's beer nirvana, isn't it? I mean, Oregon.
Well, especially during fresh hop season, because you can get some fresh hop black IPAs that are absolutely gorgeous. Now, I will say I've had a couple that didn't work because, you know, sort of what we talked about earlier, where if it's a little too much in one direction or another, which is easier to have that happen with your fresh hops, where they're just so, they want to be your friend. They're right there. It can be a little overpowering, or maybe just a little harder to sort of blend. But having said that, I've also had some that were just gorgeous. So it's a really good question. Something obviously we're not going to get a ton of just because we don't really have a fresh hop season as such.
No.
But
global warming, you know, it should help us have a
if people aren't aware, it is very hard to grow hops in Ireland. They are not
very
they're not happy here.
No.
As much as people think about the Pacific Northwest as being wet, it's too wet for hops here. It's just, you know, they don't like it. So
No. But I do love black IPAs. So, I mean, Christina, I know your feelings. Like, black IPA is kind of like your soul jam of beers. But where do you guys rank it? If you had to have a top 10 beer styles of all time, do black IPAs make your top 10?
Oh, definitely top 10. Like, that's an easy question. It's like you're asking, like, top three, or, you know, that's a harder one. If it's like,
okay, top five.
I would still put it in top five. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is it. Yeah. Because that does think top three is always changing, isn't it? That's seasonal. So.
Yeah, it's really seasonal. Although I will say, like, my top two are usually like Czech dark lagers and black IPAs, and that doesn't change all that much.
Yeah.
I like them all the time.
What? And again, I think that's something, you know, we talked about before, is I think this is a beer for all seasons. Like we said, it can be, it can help you warm up if you're feeling a little chilly. It can be refreshing. And I think, especially tend to your point about how it's a drier finish. Like, sometimes there are certain, you know, really resinous West Coast IPAs, not like, you know, not like your hazy ones, but it's just, it's much of a muchness in a good way. But I think these tend to be a little bit drier than some of their kind of paler brethren. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, remember back in the days where West Coast IPAs were the only IPAs?
Yeah.
That was a great time. But those IPAs tended to be quite sweet. I mean, yes, there was bitterness and there was hoppiness, but the sort of caramel kind of sickliness would sometimes come in at the back of your throat with those beers. And this avoids that. So because of the addition of the roasted malts, like, it is just, it's drier, it's much easier to drink. It's, I don't want to, this cheapens it, but it's kind of like the equivalent of having peanuts at a bar, because it makes you want more. It's delicious. Dried drinks are good drinks.
Here. Now, we have to talk again, or, you know, talk a little bit about the controversy, which I'm putting in giant air quotes over what we call it, because I feel like at this point, it's the discourse has been done to death. I feel like when they first became a big thing, and again, I'm talking in the modern era, sort of, you know, 2007, 8, 9, you know, thereabouts, I feel like there was a certain percentage of people who would go on Beer Advocate in the forums and who would whine about how this was incorrect and blah, 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 blah. And on one hand, I'm like, I respect the level of pedantry to which you have sunk. This is, you know, I'm here for you being like, but it's wrong. But at the same time, it's like, but you're also yucking everyone else's yum. So, and it's not like you didn't know what it meant. And that's, I think, the important thing. I think it's interesting, you know, I love the Cascadian Dark Ale branding, and I think it's great. Maybe branding is too strong a word for it, but I like it as a descriptor. But I do feel like, you know, especially over here, you kind of need to explain it a little bit more than Black IPA, where I feel like people are like, oh, so it's like a dark beer, but hoppy. Like, people get it, even if they don't, you know, do a deep dive of like, oh, but is it an India Pale Ale? Like, no one's going to have that discussion now. Maybe they did 15 years ago.
It's kind of one of those things that when IPAs were the shit, you know, as in were the it beer, it was because they were this new kind of hoppy and bitter that we hadn't really experienced before, right?
Yeah.
And then all of these different kinds of IPAs came out. And then IPA, instead of being India Pale Ale, just became IPA. It's like the pale and even the India and even the ale sort of lost their meaning. And IPA just became its own descriptor. And it just means a hopped beer, highly hopped beer for the most part. You know, whether it's, you know, end boiled juicy kind of hop flavors, or whether it's high bitterness like West Coast or black IPAs, I feel like it's changed meaning. And, you know, words do change meaning. Linguistic standards don't maintain. So I quite like Cascadian Dark Ale, but I also think it's easier shorthand to just say black IPA.
It's definitely exactly like you said. It's something that maybe people in the US, the United States would understand, but over here, it's just, although it sounds real fancy.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think as a brewery, then you can be like, we've got our friends on, like, in the Pacific Northwest, and that's cool. Like, then I think there's a certain bit of like, you know, what's the word, or just kind of like, you know, insider knowledge, and that's cool, but you're not doing it in a way that's exclusive. But at the same time, if you're whining about, but this isn't a real thing, no, then you're being a dick, and just don't do that. You know, you can just not buy it if it's not for you, that's okay. But I think it's like you said, these things have evolved, and I think, you know, there are probably, you know, separately really good discussions to be had about, should we even keep using the term IPA? Does it mean anything at this point? Does it mean bad things? Like, should we really, you know, think about, is imperial a great word to be using with anything? Probably not. But, you know, I feel like that's a separate discussion. But it's also like, if you say black IPA, you probably know what you're getting. And I'm going to just pet my can a little bit more. More, you know, you probably have a better idea of what you're going to get with a black IPA versus any other kind of IPA that I'm air quoting, you know, just because, like you said, there's so much out there now that's just sort of calling itself an IPA, whereas at least this, you know, it's going to be dark and hoppy, and then
exactly,
you know, you've at least got those two kind of points of reference.
It's really funny because over the last few weeks on Twitter and on WhatsApp groups and things that I'm generally part of, people have complained because they've seen IPAs, hazy West Coast IPAs.
Anyway. Oh, okay. Yeah. That I will be upset about. Yes.
Oh no, yes. I am clutching my pearls at that, because that's fucking ridiculous.
Words just don't mean anything anymore.
Exactly. No, right. Exactly. Can we just agree to some styles? And if the BJCP is the style guideline that you want to agree to, grand. If it's not that one, then pick a new one. Don't care. Right. But hazy West Coast IPA, fuck off. So
exactly. Not happening. We all agree. Especially because, you know, the earlier point is, you know, we know what you mean if you say black IPA. I have no idea what you're talking about if you're saying hazy West Coast IPA. You've just like word saladed at everyone. And
we have to agree that certain words mean certain things, and certain styles and definitions mean certain things, or else it loses all meaning and everything is nothing. And then we're in some weird philosophy class from university and not, well, I mean, I guess it does kind of go along with drinking beer, but you know what I mean? Like we have to, as an industry, agree that certain terms mean certain things, or else everything becomes meaningless and your customers don't know what they're getting anymore.
Exactly.
And if I'm confused, I'm probably not going to buy it.
Totally. Yeah. And, you know, it was the reason that in the BJCP guidelines, now 2021 version, it used to be called New England IPAs, and they're now just been rebranded to hazy IPAs, because that's actually what people call them. And it doesn't matter at this point whether you're using an English style yeast or a US cleaner style yeast. What matters is the appearance, the mouthfeel, the perceived juiciness, and the kinds of hops that you use are more important than whether the yeast comes from England, New England, or whether it's East Coast. So East Coast IPA, New England IPA, these are colloquialisms, but the term officially is now hazy IPA, for better or for worse. So black IPA is just simpler, I think, than trying to recreate a whole new style for a hoppy dark thing.
And I think, yes, there's a lot to be said for simple, especially at a time when breweries and certainly other industries are struggling. Like, don't make your consumer have to guess whether or not this is something for them, especially because if that's their first introduction and then they hate that, like, and maybe they would have loved it if they, you know, had bought the thing for them that you made. So,
well, then they hate hazies and they hate West Coast because they don't know.
Yeah, so keep it simple. Yeah.
We'll wait for the hazy black IPA. It's like, how is it going to be, like a little bit,
like, what would it even
murky?
Look like?
How do you it's going to be marketing speak, though.
You actually know that someone's going to try this now, right? Like, you've manifested it. This is someone's marketing bright idea on the toilet.
We didn't ask for this.
We'll
power.
Do a hazy black IPA. That's going to be a thing. No, it won't. I can assure you, it's not going to work. Please don't do it. But I think this is why I was having this sort of issue with this coffee IPA naming, because as much as coffee might be a flavor profile of whatever you've brewed, I just don't think coffee IPA describes maybe what it is, or maybe it was a black IPA but they called it a coffee IPA. Guess what, I didn't buy it. So
I would have, if you see it, tell me where you saw that, because I love coffee. And especially if they had added coffee beans. Oh.
That's typically what I've seen done, because I've seen one before, not recently, so I don't think it was this one, but I have seen, you know, an IPA that, this would have been at a beer festival now that I'm thinking about it. And it was a coffee IPA, but I cannot now remember whether it was sort of randled, if you all remember those, on coffee beans, or if it was like, see, Christina's laughing because randling, like, where did that go?
Oh, I think it was fun. That was like fun. Speaking of trends, do you remember every beer festival at one brewery would bring out the randle, and it was like, oh, did you try this? We would all run and wait in line.
What's a randle?
Okay, so quick sort of capsule history. So Dogfish Head, I think it is their fault initially, because they had it was called Randall after someone, and you would basically, you know, sort of effectively be straining your beer through the thing, but like live at a place. So it might have actually, you know what I had once that was really nice, I had a bitter that was randled on, because that was always the terminology, on chamomile, and it was actually really nice. You wouldn't think it, but it worked. But most of the others I had, there would be a fruit thing, or there would be some kind of additional dry hopping, or I feel like fruit was a big bad one though.
I had a beer, and I don't remember the style, but I had a beer that was meant to be something like a G&T beer, and it was randled on juniper berries, which was,
I feel like that could work in certain circumstances,
delicious,
but not at all in others. So just you'd have to choose wisely.
So Katie, it's like a bed where you pour the beer, and instead of from the tap to the glass, there's something in between, but it's a bit of a fancier contraption. So the fresh beer goes through it into your glass. It's a cool idea, because you don't necessarily want to, let's say, put coffee beans or something into something which might change the color. So it's a cool thing to add something to the fresh pour of the beer, but it was a bit of a trend.
It was a trend, and it was definitely a thing. Like it was fun. Don't get me wrong. Like you had to go to it, and it was an event because you had to be there when it was fresh. But some of them were just so fanciful, and you'd have it. You'd be like, and you didn't want to say anything like bad, because you were there like with other people, and you might go off in a corner with someone and be like, I don't like this. But you didn't want to be the one person who was like, because you know y'all had to be cool, because and so everyone would be like, wow, this is really unexpected, and that could mean so
covers
many things.
It covers a myriad, doesn't it?
Or interesting.
I was gonna say that. Wow, this is so interesting. What a clever idea. Walk away.
That's a new flavor we've discovered.
Ooh, it's very complex flavors.
But you know, that said, like, maybe it's the kind of thing that would be great, maybe once Underdog is back up and running in their third spot, that might be a fun thing, like once a year, to have that kind of a thing, because it was fun. I don't know what the sort of economics of it are, but it was fun as a one-off, and you got people to meet up and, you know, come together.
Interestingly, I only ever saw that at homebrew festivals. So it was already interesting, because homebrews are always more interesting than commercial brews. And it was cool, because at this particular one that I was thinking about with the gin beer, I think that he actually had a double Randall setup, which was super weird. And you could go through juniper on the one side, and I think grapefruit on the other side. So it must have been an IPA. And I think and he's a very good brewer, mind you, but I think that you almost wanted to taste both sides and then mix them, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow, there's a lot going on there then.
I know, there was a lot going on. There was probably the only time I've seen it, but very cool, very clever. I don't think for me the juniper worked very well, but juniper itself is quite a strong flavor. Like, I love gin, love G&T. Don't know if I want my whole beer pouring over it, because it'll be just slightly too much for me anyway.
Yeah.
But very cool.
Gosh, blast from the past, right? But that's, because that's kind of the same time I feel like there was that explosion of black IPAs. It was all, the Randall's going to be on at this event, and you have to come out at this time. And, you know, it was a whole thing. But again, this was kind of pre-social media. Like, there might have been like a Facebook event, but there wasn't, you know, there was no Instagram, there was no Twitter.
Maybe it was on Bebo, you know, or MySpace.
Ooh, so, or maybe even on MySpace.
So, well, we had them here in like
2013, 2014.
Yeah, so there would have been something else there then, yeah.
But that's 10 years ago. Oh, God.
No, yeah, no, that's not, because 1990 was 10 years ago, so.
Yeah, right, right. And 1980 was 20 years ago.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You can't tell me any different.
And we're all in our 20s.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, completely. It's all
I'll stay
all
there.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just having anniversaries, okay?
Yeah,
my 21st birthday.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with
and
that. Well, I think maybe that's a good spot to leave it then. But before we wrap up, any final thoughts on black IPAs, or maybe a favorite black IPA you would love to see return? So have a think.
No, but you know, this Nagelbett, and I know it's a cold black IPA, and I'm sure I was supposed to pick up something of the cold fermentation, but it was smashing, like really nice one. So
I like it, yeah.
I'll pick this one up again, definitely.
I don't think I've had a black IPA that I haven't liked. That might be because I haven't, you know, I like the ones that I like, and I tend to go back to them. So that might be why. But yeah, so maybe just more of them.
More of them. Yeah. Katie, how about yourself?
Yeah, I don't think I'm attached to any specific one or other. I just would like to try more of them. So I'm at a beer festival on Saturday. So is Lisa.
Yes.
Is anyone else? No. No.
Nope.
So let's see if there's a black IPA.
Let's see if there's a black IPA. And just if the rude girl happens to be on, we wouldn't be mad about that.
Yes.
That's
a lovely black IPA from Rascals.
It really was. It really was. Yes. So, so by the time this drops, you should be getting ready to go to Rascals and meet us up, you know, there. But if you're listening to it late, that's on you. That's on you. Look at you having a life, you know, to lead. But the only other one I would call out is an American one that I don't even know if it's in a place I ever get back to in America, but it was from the Duck Rabbit Brew Company. They made one that they called Hoppy Bunny, because they're in North Carolina, but Hoppy Bunny American Black Ale. So they kind of split the difference with that. But it was a really, really nice beer. And I'm sure they make it regularly. But
okay, but I'm sorry, their name is Duck Rabbit. That is very cute.
That's they have a great
I like
logo.
That.
Oh, that's so cute.
I really like that for some reason.
One of my kids has a t-shirt and it's like duck rabbit.
Oh,
and it's like it depending on what way you look at it.
Exactly.
One way it's a duck, the other way it's a rabbit.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah, they have a great logo where it's just that, where you're, it's like it, which and you know, depending on how many you've had, you might see a different one. But I have to say I am really impressed with the black IPAs we can get here in Ireland. So thank you, local folks, for making some really interesting ones, and we hope to see more of them again in the future.
Indeed.
And actually, you know what else is nice too, I'm just going to put that out there, black IPAs on cask, just saying, some are really nice, some are a little strong for it, others though hit it kind of right in the sweet spot. So
well,
it's have
almost
to get just
like
the right one.
It's almost like the cask that we had, Lisa and Christina, was bordering, like it was labeled as a stout, but it was obviously a very hoppy stout.
It was a very hoppy stout, yes, which I think we needed. So
yeah.
Yes, I definitely, if I drink stouts, which I like, but I only like hoppy stouts.
Yeah. So again, putting that out there into the universe, I totally agree though that if it's like 7%, it's not going to work. It's too strong. It's just overwhelming. But I think there's probably a good place for kind of a 6% black IPA to be very happy in a cask and be maybe just right. So putting that out there in the world. So with that, I think we will all say thank you. We are looking forward to seeing you again in the near future. And of course, you can find us, like we said, at Beer Ladies Pod, or you can search for Beer Ladies Podcast. We are on all the things, like we've said. And with that, we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, friends.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.